The next talk will be about stronger interrupt through HTML and data tooling by Dennis.
Thank you very much. All right. I am a sponsored contributor to WordPress, which is why I'm giving this talk. My name is Dennis Snell, and I'm very passionate about this topic, so I would love to talk with you afterwards in the hall or later over a beer. I'm going to run really fast because I couldn't cut enough out of this talk. A quick note at the beginning. There's going to be a lot of PHP code in the slides, but this talk is really not about PHP, nor is it about WordPress. The ideas are transcendent to various programming languages. And I hope you had a chance to read this quote at the beginning, because it's framing the talk. About a year and a half ago, I spent about 3 months deep diving into HTML, XML, and SGML history, poring over the mailing lists, reading the SGML specification, and a surprising pattern stuck out. Since the beginning of interconnected computers and markdown languages that allowed us to add structure to our human communication, we have been encouraging one another to use substandard tools to create corrupted documents. In terms of HTML, we ended up building a fully HTML spec compliant parser in user space PHP code, and that's been shipping in WordPress for over 2 years. I like to motivate this talk by asking, how did we get to this point? And everything on this slide represents what I like to call legitimate HTML. It is true, these are all malformed snippets of HTML. They have different errors. But in HTML, errors are benign in a sense that there is no actual erroneous HTML. A common misunderstanding is that HTML is loose and forgiving, but it's more specified than XML. I usually like to challenge the audience to tell me what's going on in the highlighted snippet, but for sake of time, we've got a tag with four attributes, three of whose values are the empty string, and one of whose value is less than three. This work all started going to or from a WordPress conference. There had been a few bugs in a row, three particular bugs in a row that brought crashes to WordPress. And they all stemmed from the same silly mistakes of assuming that white space was present or that white space wasn't present or that attributes used double quotes instead of single quotes. And I said, it's finally time to solve this comprehensively, and we'll just do the work. We'll build the full regular expression that gets all of this stuff to get an attribute out of an HTML tag. Simple, simple, simple. And then I realized you have to start at the beginning of an HTML document and parse your way forward if you want to be able to do that reliably. And so was born our HTML parser. Along the way, we learned an awful lot. And what I want to focus on today is what we learned about DOM interfaces and more generally about parsers that are not designed, which I'll expand on later. PHP historically has had DOM document, which is a native implementation of an XML parser. It was used mistakenly for many years to parse HTML documents, but as of PHP 8.5, it finally has an HTML parser. Python comes with an HTML parser. A number of languages have one built in. But the DOM interface is expensive. When we're talking about speed, it's actually faster at parsing raw HTML than our user space PHP parser is, which is no surprise because it's running native code. But as we'll see later, practically, our code ends up with faster code. But speed is one thing because most documents are small. At WordPress.com, for example, we handle hundreds of millions of requests all the time, and most, 98% of those requests or 98% of what we do with HTML are small snippets, and they go extremely fast. So something that's a little faster or a little slower is a little better or a little worse. But if something bloats memory and causes the request to crash, then we go from a system that's working fully to a system that doesn't work at all and essentially has an infinite response time in a moment. DOM interfaces that build a tree from an HTML or an XML input are extremely wasteful, and this is where their costs all come from, because they start with the document in text form, then they parse completely through the entire document. They perform a bunch of computation to convert text, to read attributes, to do error checkup, error cleanup, and they do all that before you're even allowed to see the first token as a result of that parse. So HTML API in WordPress is what we call a set of classes that are used to parse HTML. And we designed it to be fast enough, to be efficient for all requests, and to be as close as possible to zero allocating as we could. So we wanted to build a streaming reentrant parser that we can pause and resume from. The DOM interfaces, though, even if they were perfect in this regard, are inconvenient interfaces for doing what a lot of people want to do. And maybe it's wrong to pick on PHP because of its legacy here, but you know, if we write standard code that we want to do this work on, we run it and then it says, you know, oh, there's an error because there was no HTML tag, there was no doc type declaration. So we say, oh, okay, I remember, I need to put in these libxml flags. And then it throws another warning that says, libxml no warning was for DOM document, you can't use that for the HTML document. So we take that out and then we run the code again. And then when we see what it spits out, it's added a doc type, it's added an HTML tag, it's added body. So we go back and we add the no implied flag. What this highlights is that there's an awful lot of internal nuance that any developer needs to know when using these official parsers before they can even do the most primitive basic change to a document. WordPress's HTML API code looks structurally similar, but it's considerably different inside. For one, we don't have configuration flags because a browser doesn't have configuration flags. We've done a lot of work to try and use the naming of the methods on this parser to simultaneously educate developers about HTML, or in other words, the language they're working with, and we've put a lot of effort to try and make it really, really difficult to mess up. From the developer's perspective, the code doesn't feel a whole lot different in this particular use case, but the output is also significantly different. If we take a look at the malformed input undergoing the same transformation from the previous two slides, we can see that the output in the middle from a tree builder or a DOM interface normalized all the attributes, double-quoted DOM, and it removed duplicate attributes. But surprisingly, WordPress doesn't do that. WordPress even left the duplicate source attribute in here because it knows that duplicate attributes on HTML tags are ignored. We realize that browsers are all performing the same error cleanup that the server was doing, and so there's no point in us, if we have 100,000 requests, to make the same transformation 100,000 times on the server and ship it out to browsers who are then going to attempt to run the exact same code. So in addition to thinking it's silly for us to spend all this time on precious limited server resources, it was also very important for us to minimize the diffs. What is the minimum change? What is the smallest change that we can impart on a given document in order to accomplish the goals that the developer wanted to request? So, you know, there's all sorts of cleanups we don't do because they're not necessary. And that's not to say that we should never normalize our HTML, because there's a lot of systems where we kind of want to prevent downstream parsers from having trouble. We can do that. We have a normalize function. But we're not going to do that unless you ask for it. We like to make the costs of what we're doing obvious and clear to the developers. It may not be obvious, but DOM parsers are not safe. And this is true even in the browser's JavaScript DOM. We have to talk about safety because there's different levels, right? Like, the most important level of safety is I shouldn't have the ability to convince you to log me into your bank account. And thankfully, a DOM interface is not going to allow us to do that. Like, an HTML spec compliant parser is not going to let us do that. But actually, it does. Because it's able to create these nodes in memory in the tree form, which cannot be represented by HTML. It's kind of silly, but not everything that runs in a browser can load in a browser. It can only happen when JavaScript code runs and creates that DOM. Now on the server, we can actually do this. We can create the same DOM in memory. The problem is we cannot get that DOM in memory out in a way that the browser will recreate it. This is not in a security context, but I still consider it safety related on corrupting content. We've asked the DOM API to add an H2 element as the child of an H1 element. If you're keen on HTML, you know this is not allowed. But the DOM API allows us to do it anyway. And if we take a look at what it spits out, it literally did what we asked it. It put an H2 element inside of the H1. The problem is that this doesn't round trip. If you then feed what it spit out directly back into itself, it produces a different tree in memory. This is a divergence between what the developer thought they were doing and what actually happens when that HTML loads in a browser. In WordPress, we don't allow this. We don't allow anything to happen where what a browser interprets would be different than what it looks evidently like you're doing from the code. And that brings us to one really big misunderstanding on the web, highlighted in this famous Stack Overflow post. Who's seen this? Anyone? Don't use regular expressions to parse HTML. And then the quote ends with, have you tried using an XML parser instead? And this is so funny to me, because this is almost as bad of advice as telling someone to parse HTML with a regex. It's true that some HTML documents can be parsed by XML, just as some HTML documents can be parsed by regular expressions. But they're different languages, and the differences go so far beyond self-closing flags, double quotes, and character references. Even JavaScript has a different operating model in XHTML contexts, which, of course, almost don't exist on the web. There are probably a countable number of XHTML pages on the web, because when a browser reads a document that claims to be XHTML, it actually uses an HTML parser, unless there's a specific HTTP header indicating that its content type is XML. DOM interfaces are atomic. I mentioned it a moment ago that when it reads in its HTML, it performs 100% of the work to produce a pristine tree in memory before it lets you even start. With our parser, which I think you might call this a pull parser, we scan through each token in the document and we return control to you when if you ask to step through each token or if you ask to go to a specific tag or if you, you know, tell it to go seek until you find a tag with a given class name. Which means you can do really interesting things like give it a budget or give it a word count, in which case it'll progress through the document, understanding the structure of the document up to that point, and when you stop, it's done parsing. It's as if the rest of the document doesn't exist. So even though our parser may be 2 to 6 times slower than a native parse running C code under the hood, which this wouldn't even apply if you were recreating this interface in another language, the fact that we end up parsing less than 1% of the document means we still run faster. And by the way, we've used 0 bytes of memory. Well, we've probably used a couple hundred bytes of memory. While we routinely see at WordPress.com requests that crash because the DOM parser uses hundreds of megabytes of memory. Because it's re-entrant and streaming, we don't even need to have the full document before we start parsing. In fact, as many of you probably know, WordPress is quite extensible. And there's times where we're marching through a document and we get to something that will then generate HTML. Well, we're able to kind of like step into that part of the document, generate the HTML, append it to the parser, and then progress until we've run out. And it'll even tell us if it stopped in the middle of a token. So whereas a browser, you know, does certain things to terminate there, we can say, oh, we started parsing a tag, but we didn't complete it yet, and the document ends there. So we're just going to wait, and you get to choose what to do. You can pop in the next chunk, or you can treat it as the end. A lot of tooling ends up assuming that HTML is just tags and text. But as we all know, there's character references. And I just want to highlight a few tools that either exist in WordPress or I've built on my own that highlight some of the needs we have, or at least I see a lot of developers have, when working with code that a tree doesn't solve. We want to go and we want to check all the sources or all the href attributes. And we want to see if they start with JavaScript. But then we forget that they can be encoded in character references. And maybe some code does look for, you know, the J, ampersand, hash, X, 60-something or 70-something. But they forget that it can be, you know, capital A or lowercase a. They forget that you can have an arbitrary number of zeros leading that prefix before the end. Or they forget that it can be decimal instead of hexadecimal. So we provide a zero allocation method that you can say like, hey, look, does this start with this raw text? And as a developer, you don't have to think about it. I also built a very basic tool to search for plain text content within an HTML document and give back the indices where that match was found. You can see here that the first letter of the match was itself a character reference, and it spans this EM tag. But we can go a step further and tell it to extract the search result, in which case something funny happens. We can see that the full input isn't adequately represented in the output, because we dragged the context where that match was found, and we provided an isolated, contained chunk or fragment of the document. This is central to the problem with XML tooling out there on the web. This is central to problems with HTML tooling, that when we pull a fragment of the document out, we lose relevant context. And it's even worse with XML, where there might be entity definitions in the preamble of the document, and there might be namespaces, there might be namespace changes along the way. And so what we've done is we've said, look, if we're going to pull something out of here, we need to adequately represent the way this appeared in its source document. If I want to quote a blog post on mine, I want to get that content out, but I don't want the whole page. But I also don't want to like lose the, you know, in this case, I don't want to lose the fact that this was emphasized. So the HTML API has provided that tag for us. Also, it works with regexes. Now, not every HTML document can be represented in XML. XML serialization of HTML, also known as XHTML, can actually generate those invalid DOM trees that HTML cannot. But the HTML also cannot comprehensively be represented in XHTML the same way it cannot be represented in the DOM. But WordPress is able to translate HTML into XML or reinterpret it in ways that are so cool if you're into this thing, which you may not be, and that's fine. But you can see there's a lot going on under the hood, a lot more than slashes and quotes. We understand what happens when namespaces change. If you look in this input HTML, we know that the p tag implicitly closes the SVG and kind of brings us back into the HTML namespace, and we're able to adequately represent that in XML. And this stuff will round trip. It won't produce the input HTML, but it'll produce equivalent HTML. And my two favorites, the two most common use cases I see where HTML gets corrupted, are truncation and conversion to plain text formats like Markdown. Because of the way that this parser steps through the document, we can tell it, parse until you've seen three words, and it'll just do it. It'll give us that same isolated, contained fragment of HTML. You know, it's recognized, okay, we hit the end with this EM tag, but there's tags that are still open. So it's not only going to provide implicit openers, it's going to add implicit closers. And just by changing a single parameter and inside of the function, it's like a simple if statement, we can just grab this plain text content. What I've probably done a terrible job communicating is parsers have to follow design. If we want to be successful when we're designing parsers, then we have to start by asking, what are they for? What is the goal of being able to understand HTML or XML? What is our goal in reading an RSS feed? The DOM is extremely important, particularly in the browser, because the browser turns that into UI elements, and it'll even do weird UI stuff, like put a button inside of a button. But when we're on the server, and we have hundreds of thousands of requests, and latency matters, and memory use matters, and all we want to do is find an interesting spot in the document, make a change, and continue, then we want to be able to design our interfaces around those goals. And, you know, I think it's really sad, because I've come to love XML. I did not always love XML, but I've come to love it, and I think it's a tragedy that we lacked the adequate tooling that was convenient enough, reliable enough, and safe enough for people to reach for that instead of looking to use these substandard tools. I think a lot of times we get this idea that there's some kind of inherent way to turn a string into a particular thing, especially if there's a specification for that. But the specifications can be a guide for how to properly interpret content. We took a look at the needs we had the benefit of having 20 years of HTML handling code in WordPress to look back and say, where have these interfaces, where have these parsers failed us, and use that to design the new system. But if you never stop and ask, if we just say, like, okay, I'm going to sit out today and write a JSON parser, then we're missing a huge opportunity to meet real needs that aren't being served. A quick note, WordPress is pushing upstream with this. We just closed out a bug in Lexplore. Lexplore is the open source HTML parser that actually went into PHP 8.5. We noticed it was misparsing script tags where our code isn't. And they fixed it. We've also pushed bug fixes to the HTML spec itself where it's either ambiguous or conflicting in what it says. And just to clear my conscience, we do have a Rust port of some of this so that we can build it to WebAssembly and get it running in the browser where it's faster than Chrome's HTML parser, again, because it skips doing any work it doesn't have to do. I could go on for hours, but I want to leave some time for questions. I thank you so much for attending and putting up with this fast pace. Okay, in this case, does anybody want to guess what the attribute names are in this slide? The first attribute's name is the cow emoji. Any guess on what the second attribute name is? The second attribute name is equal sign backtick in o backtick. Anybody want to take a guess at what the third attribute name is? It's not the equal sign. It's the ampersand. How about the fourth attribute name? I'm going to come back to you. What's the fourth attribute name? So close. It's actually the equal sign. Question.
When you say the first, the second, and the third, you mean that's how the parser sees it?
That's how a spec-compliant HTML parser will read this tag. The tag's name is I, the letter, and then the eyes emoji. And this, we get to these places because we look at HTML inputs we happen to have seen, and we try to form a mental model around that. And that actually works reasonably well with XML, but that's not how HTML works. HTML is this dual stack machine that, when you learn about how it works, makes a lot of sense and clarifies all the problems with like missing tags or optional tags. But if we want to avoid the characteristic problems in this domain, we just want to start with a spec, and that'll turn us from like writing code and then spending a decade handling edge cases into writing code and figuring out how to anticipate the kind of inputs which would trigger bugs in other code. Because we've started with the mental model of how the system works and implemented its rules instead of starting with, well, I wrote an HTML tag once.
Very much for the talk, right? It's like there's some here be dragons and you are yes, dragons please. Go all the way down. I love it.
Thank you. There are dragons, but they're fun dragons.
But are they attribute names?
Okay, thanks a lot, Dennis. Thank you, everyone.